Luke chapter 2, verse 1 and verses 8 through 20. This is the reading of God's Word. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Verse 8. In the same region there was some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news, a great joy which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all the people, all who heard it, wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherd went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, so that we may, through your word, see what your Son has done and what He has accomplished for us. Oh Father, we pray that through your word we'll be able to have fellowship with Him. And Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly and all of us will not only hear but understand and believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're looking at verses 8 through 20. To look at this passage in one sermon, it would be too long. But to divide it into two sermons, it would be too short. After much of thinking, I decided to divide it into two sermons. So today and next week, we'll look at these verses. The King is born. The Messiah has come. God has come to save His people from sin and from this world. Isaiah 9:6-7, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders. And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." This child, this Jesus, is the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. The King of Heaven is born, but no one is blowing any trumpet to let the people know of His birth. That's what usually happens when, you know, king and queen, they have a child. And we see no joyous people celebrating his birth. Because that's what usually happens when prince is born. It is at night. And all are sleeping. A truly dark night, spiritually. It is night in which no one knows what is really happening. God came, but nobody knows. Nobody cares. Truly, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ is hidden to this world. I mean, even like president of foreign country visits United States of America, we all know about it. God came and nobody cares. God is laying and sleeping in a manger. God came and there is no room for him. Verse 8 and 9, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. So you see in some calendars and, you know, the shepherds at that night, nearby some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock. To them, an angel of the Lord comes. The glory of the Lord shone around them. God is with them. Even though the sight is glorious, the shepherds are terribly frightened. This shows the problem of human beings. Cannot help but be terribly frightened in the presence of God because of their sin. But to them, good news is being proclaimed. Luke 2, verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. The angel brings the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus. The whole world is ignorant about it. But the angel brings the good news to the shepherds. You know, at that time, the shepherds, they were not at the high standing in the society. Actually, they were ignored by the society. They were nobodies. And they were not clean ceremonially. So they could not even participate in the ministry of the temple. But these shepherds were the first people to hear the good news of the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The messianic era that the prophet Isaiah spoke about has come. The messianic era in which the good news will be preached to the poor. That era has come. The angel speaks, I bring you good news of joy, great joy, which will be for all the people. The good news of great joy that God has come. That's what gospel is all about. Well, to this sinful world, this might not be good news. But it is truly a good news of great joy to all those who believe in God. Verse 11 and 12, For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. The content of the good news, there has been born for you a Savior. The Lord who saves has come, and His name is Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 speaks about Jesus Christ, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ, only by Jesus Christ, Jesus alone is the Savior, the Lord, the Christ, the God. He is the Savior. All who receive Jesus Christ, all who acknowledge Jesus as the Lord, the Savior, are those who acknowledge that they need salvation. Thus, they acknowledge that they are sinners who truly deserve the eternal judgment of God. That is why Christian life begins with repentance. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So if you think you're righteous without Christ, then God is not calling you. That you don't have to repent of your sins, that shows that God is not calling you. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and the Lord and God. This will be a sign for you, the angel said. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Now, this sinful world will mock this sign. How can the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, and God be lying in a manger? How could that be a sign? But that is the sign. To this world, this will never make sense. How can a Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord, and God be dying on the cross next to the robbers? How can the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord and God have no place to lay His head in this world? But that's the sign. In order for anyone to truly understand this sign, one must be given faith by God. The sinful world cannot receive such a person as the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord and God. Who would think when they see Jesus born next to the animals and lying in a manger and they go, He's God, He's the Savior. No one would do that. Unless faith is given to you by God. See, this is why to this world, this gospel doesn't make any sense. A Savior has to be mighty. And if He came to save me, as a sinner, I would think that, He is at least powerful and rich. Otherwise, how can He save me? But that's the sign. And you will never recognize Him as a Savior unless faith is given to you. That's why all this gospel that we're preaching in this church, it will never make any sense to the people out there who has no faith in Jesus Christ. God in a low and lowly place. It just doesn't make any sense to this world. In chapter 1, through Mary, God has shown to us the mission of the Messiah. Chapter 1, 52 and 53, He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. We are reminded what God says through Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so you through His poverty might become rich." This is the gospel. Poor in this world will be rich in heaven. Rich in this world will be truly poor. And the indication of being poor or rich is never by the worldly things. Oh, that's only until you live here and go to heaven. The world will judge you by those things, but eternally, you being rich is never judged by the things of this world. That's why it's foolishness to think like what the world thinks. Because it's only for a little while. You know, I live almost 60 years. It goes by so fast. And I know you heard that from so many people who are old. And you hear that because it's true. It goes by so fast. And only for that time, you're affected by worldly standard, if you let it. But you don't have to let it affect you. You live by faith. Look at what Jesus is showing us. He shows us a sign. And what is the sign that our God is in the lowest place in this world? So, when you look at that sign, you're so clear that our God is not of this world. Because even to us, God cannot be in that lowest place. But He is. So rather than you realize, you say, He's not God, you say, this world is not His kingdom. You have to be wise. But the sinners will come to a wrong conclusion. They will look at that and say, oh, He's not God. He's not even a king. Because if He is, why would He be in that position, that situation? But people with wisdom will see the same thing and say, well, this world is not His kingdom. See, completely different responses, even though they're looking at the same thing. One with faith, one without. Verses 13 and 14. "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." A multitude of the heavenly hosts praise God. This praise, we shall look at it more detail next time. That's why I divided this sermon into two sermons. But this praise speaks of both heaven and this world. The glory to God in heaven, peace among men on earth. Glory to God and peace among men is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Both are the result of the salvation of God's people. Peace among men. But peace among men is accomplished through peace with God. We saw this already, so let us briefly summarize. Because of sin, God is now to the sinners the eternal judge whom they need to fear now and forever. The sinners are under God's eternal curse and His eternal judgment. Isaiah 48 verse 22, there is no peace for the wicked. No peace for the sinners. Because true peace is peace with God. No peace until the problem of our sin is taken care of. Before sin, Adam and Eve had the perfect peace with God, joyous fellowship with God, loving God and beloved by God. And Adam and Eve had perfect peace between them, joyous fellowship with one another and loving one another. And Adam and Eve had the perfect peace within themselves, Adam with himself and Eve with herself, there's peace. No guilt, no contradiction that could find within oneself. And they also had a perfect peace with the creation. No flood, no earthquake, no death by the animals. Nothing like that. But because of sin, this perfect peace has been broken. The fellowships are broken and loving among them are broken. Love among them are broken. As soon as they sin, they hid themselves from God. God is no longer the object of their love, but He is the object of their fear now. Peace between Adam and Eve is also broken. Adam no longer loves Eve, but blames her for his sin. Genesis 3:12, the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit. She gave me from the tree, and I ate." Not only Adam does not love Eve, he blames God for his sin. "The woman whom you gave to me, gave to be with me, she gave me." See, it's never his fault. It's your fault, God, and the woman that you gave me to be with me is her fault. This is what happened as soon as sin comes in. And this is what we see. It's all about blaming others these days. That is what this society is all about now. It's never their fault. It's always others. People who were before us, it's their fault. This is what happens when sin comes in. Rather than be on your knees and repenting of your sins, you start blaming other people. God, if you truly believe that God is in control, then whatever situation you find yourself in, don't you think that that was God's plan for you? Then what are you blaming? Whom are you blaming for that situation? No, Christians, we understand God is in control. And God loves me. So He will never put me in a situation that is actually eternally harmful for me. He loves me too much to do that. So rather than seeking whom or what to blame, I look to myself, my sin. And I look to God with faith. Thus you could continue to live with joy that only God could give you. So Adam and Eve, peace with God is broken. Love between them is broken. And their sons, Cain and Abel, no peace between them, as you know. Cain kills Abel, and when asked where Abel is, he said, Genesis 4:9, I do not know, am I my brother's keeper? This comes from Satan's heart. When I ask you, where is grace? Because your love for her, even if I didn't make that announcement, you will find out. You're not going to say, am I my sister's keeper? No, you are. God made you your brother's keeper. And you need to know. You need to love that person. Cain kills his brother and hates God. There is no peace. And this reality has been shown throughout the history of man. A sinful world speaks of peace, but history of man is filled with killing one another. Oh, they could sugarcoat all they want, but that's what history was. Killing one another. And all the technology, you know, all the advancement of all this science, it all excels in making new bombs, new weapons to kill more people in a shorter time. That's where all the money goes. And we talk about peace. Thus, look at this earth. Maybe you think in your mind that you go up to the sky and you look at the earth. What do you see? That earth that you are seeing has become a gigantic, a massive grave. You know, when God created this universe, when God created Adam and Eve, that was not so. But because of sin, we die. And it's only because of sin we die. And this earth has become massive grave. That's what this earth has become. You know, without Christ, that's exactly what it is. And that's how the earth will end, as a grave. A people who have been created in the image of God, but sin has came in. You know, you could sugarcoat all history and all the talk about purpose of man. I came, I was born to do this or do that, but at the end, it's just gigantic grave. Tomb. And we all stink it. Because your dead body, corpse, it will stink. Without Christ, that's what history is all about. But now that's too depressing. We have to put it in a beautiful words. But it's all lies. You have to face it. The true peace is accomplished only after the problem of sin is solved. Thus Jesus comes. This is why He comes. The reason Jesus came, Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, and through Him, through Jesus, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Romans chapter 5 verse 1, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased, who believes in Jesus Christ, who rejoices through faith that peace that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished is now theirs to possess and enjoy forever. Peace apart from Jesus Christ is false. It will be false. I always tell this story, not to make you angry, but to make a point. Two non-Christian, husband and wife, they fall in love, and they love one another so much that everybody who looks at them go, whoa, there's so much love between those two. And I say, that's a fake love. Because true love is eternal love. Compared to eternity, 60, 70 years is nothing, it's false. Yes, they might love one another, really love one another for 70 years, but when they die, they go to hell. And let me tell you, they're not going to love one another in hell. So what was all that for 70 years, showing everybody around them how much they love one another? What is all that? It's absolutely nothing without Christ. People don't realize this. They think that it's okay without Christ. But even that pure love the world speaks of, which is not pure, it's a fake. Because if you put eternity into 100 years, and if I show you how much I love you for just 2 days, and after 2 days, then I don't love you, you will tell me that I'm a fake. Just like it. Eternity, they're going to hate one another, but for 70 years, they're going to love. That's a fake. Without Christ, this is how sinful people are. We cannot help ourselves. This is the reality. Without Christ, everything is complete destruction and complete chaos. Why would the world love this kind of message? But they need to hear the good news. God came to save these kind of people. And we are reading about that event. God came to save His people. Peace, Jesus accomplished. The gospel proclaims that the true and eternal peace has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. And this worship clearly demonstrates that. And peace with one another. Oh, I might not show that perfectly right now, but I guarantee when I get to heaven and when I see you in heaven, oh, we're going to love one another perfectly. And that's just not for 60 years or 100 years. It will be forever. Peace with God has been restored. Peace with one another. Peace within oneself. Which we struggle with it. I mean, just the contradiction within yourself. Stand before God and examine yourself. It's filled with contradiction. We say one thing, we do other. We know what is right, but we do wrong. There's no peace within myself without Christ. And people who say without Christ they have peace within themselves, they never examine themselves clearly. It's just contradiction walking around. And all that guilt. But when we get to heaven, all that is gone. Complete peace within myself. I long for that day. Because just to think about how I am in this world, it makes me sick. You know, in the book of Revelation, God says, be cold or be hot. Don't be lukewarm because I will spit you out of my mouth. That language is about He will puke you out of your mouth. And that's what happens to us when we examine ourselves. It makes us puke. All that God has taken care of. Because what Jesus Christ has done, even peace within myself is completely restored. And peace with creation. In heaven, there will be no danger from our surroundings. And in verse 1, we met Augustus Caesar. You know, he is credited by historians as the one who was able to keep peace in Rome, Roman Empire, for a long time. Historians call that period, that peaceful period, as Pax Romana. Using the Pax Romana as the background, Luke tells us the story of Jesus Christ, who came to accomplish the eternal peace of heaven. Jesus is not accomplishing peace in this world, but the eternal peace of heaven. For this sinful world will be completely destroyed by our Lord Jesus Christ when He comes back to judge it. And because our Lord has been judged and abandoned by the Father on the cross for us, we now in Him have eternal peace with God. Through all this, glory to God in the highest. Verse 15 and 16. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. The angel, as we saw, told the shepherds that they would find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. The shepherds obey the angel, thus obey God. It says, so they came in a hurry. Not so much that they went there in a hurry, like running or whatever, but they obeyed God in a hurry. They obeyed in faith. Again, through these shepherds, we see a picture of true Christians. And last part, verse 17 through 20. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. It says when they had seen the baby as he lay in the manger. Now, when you read about that, it is very strange, isn't it? These shepherds, when they saw the angels, they were terribly frightened. But here they see God Himself, and yet we are not told that they were terribly frightened. What are we seeing? We see how low God has humiliated Himself. He became one of us. That's the extent of His humiliation. He became one of us so that when they see God, they were not frightened. But little bit of glory from angels, they were all frightened. God truly became a man. This is how low He came to save us. Not even a hint of heavenly glory in this baby. Oh, don't, you know, forget about those calendars. They draw, you know, baby in a manger glowing. No. That's not what Bible teaches. Yeah, one of the hymn, you know, we don't sing, not in our hymn book, but one of the hymns says that this baby did not even cry. He did cry. When he was hungry, he cried for mother's milk. Jesus became one of us. That when people see Him, they were not even afraid. I don't know, man. This just, it hits me. Yes, even though He was God and is God at the same time, He became one of us. The shepherd came and saw truly a different lamb. The shepherd came and saw their true shepherd. And in these shepherds, we see a picture of ourselves. We too make known the statement which had been told us about Jesus Christ in the Bible. And like Mary, we too treasure all these things, pondering them in our hearts. We too have seen all of this in the Bible. Thus, we too glorify and praise our God for all that we have heard and seen through His Word. Even now, there are so many around us who do not know that God has come to save His people. Thus we make known about the gospel and enjoy peace with God now and forever. And this is what our life is all about. You and I, we saw that baby through His Word. Now go out and tell the people that God has come to save His people. That's what our life is all about. And if you don't think your life's purpose in those terms, you're not thinking biblically. Oh, world will tell you what your purpose should be and what you need to do out there. But that's not what Bible says. Because you saw this baby through the Bible. And we cannot help but to go out and make known to everybody that God has come to save His people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You that You have sent Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You that Jesus came as a man, but at the same time, God. We thank You for all that He has done. In the Bible, we see clearly His humiliation. And Father, You have told us in order for us to participate in His glorification, we must also participate in His sufferings. Yeah. Oh Father, let us truly understand what our lives are all about. What is our purpose as we live our lives here on earth? No matter what kind of jobs we might have, no matter what we do, where we are, we are to make known the good news that God Himself has come to save His people. Bless us, God, that we may do that. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.